Carolyn, we are bringing back a listener favorite. I really love when we do these.
I do too.
And actually, we tried to do this last week, and all the headlines that we found were it seemed like it would be exciting, and then it was like, well, duh. And so, for example, one was eating more sugar increases your risk of depression.
Yeah.
And when you think about it that way, you're like, oh, yeah, of course. So we got our act together. You got your act together.
Yes, we did a little more digging.
And we found some really fun new studies that we're going to cover today.
Yeah. So just to give people a little teaser, we're going to talk about a B vitamin that can actually hurt your heart health. We're going to talk about a fasting light diet that you just do for 5 days a month that can actually lower your biological age. We're going to talk about a 4-day work week trial and all the positives for the employees and the company.
And the company.
Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about...
my favorite.
This one was for Briarly. How living close to pubs and bars could be harmful to your health.
Yeah.
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 Just your distance that you live from them.
Yeah.
May increase your heart failure risk. Okay, let's jump in.
Okay. So most of us apparently are getting a lot of niacin. Now, that is a B vitamin, and people really like their B vitamins. A lot of people take B vitamins for energy.
Yeah, and that's really why I wanted to cover this one, because people love B vitamins. They associate it with energy, with vitality, with some with metabolism. And we have this notion kind of that B vitamins can do no wrong, you know, and... you know, that's a supplement that a lot of people take, or maybe getting in a multivitamin, or just different ways.
Right.
So that's why I wanted to cover this. But the study found that people are getting a lot more niacin in our daily diet. And one reason for that is niacin's fortified in a lot of our grain products.
Right.
And I'd forgotten that.
Yeah.
So if you're eating a lot of...
Breads, cereals. Yeah.
Pastas, any of your packaged grain foods. Yes,
that are fortified, especially if they are not organic.
Yeah.
Because the not organic ones are the ones that are fortified more.
Oh, they're fortified more. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Not more in volume, but like they're more likely to be fortified than the organic versions.
Gotcha.
Are not necessarily fortified.
Gotcha. Yeah. So between our diet, which tends to be made up of a lot of these fortified grain products, and then some of the supplements that people take.
Or the things that they're drinking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They like to put B vitamins in drinks these days.
Yes.
So people are getting a lot more than they may realize. A lot of people may be getting an excess amount. And what this study found is that an excess amount of niacin in the body makes a byproduct that causes inflammation.
Dun, dun, dun. Carolyn's favorite.
Arterial inflammation, actually, or vascular inflammation, and it leads to blood vessel damage and a buildup of plaque in artery walls. And they found that excess niacin levels was a major risk factor for cardiac events such as heart attack and stroke, and that it was predictive of future cardiac disease.
Which, first of all, is alarming. Second of all, was extremely alarming when you told me that in the past, sometimes niacin or vitamin B3 was prescribed or recommended for lowering cholesterol.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
It used to be recommended for that. I don't know if maybe, you know, when it was recommended, people didn't realize just how much we were getting in our diet from these fortified
already,
products.
Already, yeah.
But it's caused some health professionals or researchers to say, hey, we may need to go back and look at this fortification mandate, because manufacturers are required to fortify these grain products with a certain amount of B vitamins. And but some are saying, hey, we need to look at this, because this fortification may be doing some harm, you know, specifically in regard to niacin. So I thought that was really interesting.
Very fascinating. Very fascinating.
So just keep an eye out on niacin. A doctor also in the study that they, in the review of it, said, you know, also focus more on your fruits and vegetables. We tend to rely on those grain products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, carbs come in the form of fruits and vegetables and other foods, you know, so that can decrease the fortification of niacin that you're getting in your diet. So that's right. That.
That's that. Let's move on.
Let's get younger.
Let's get younger. Okay. I mean, I'm all about this. So a new study found that following a fasting-like diet, and we'll talk about what this particular fasting-like diet is, can lower your biological age by 2.5 years.
Yeah. So what is so exciting about this is, you know, as dietitians, as health professionals, we talk about, oh, you need to make lifestyle changes over the long haul. It's got to be permanent and ongoing.
Right, right. Like, you have to do this and do it forever.
Yeah. So this is perpetuity, really exciting in the fact that this is really the first dietary approach where you just do it 5 days a month.
Yes, and you don't even have to do it in perpetuity, because my first question to you when you said it is, I said, well, hold on a minute. How long did they follow this fasting-like diet to see these benefits?
Yeah.
And so it's a five-day fasting-mimicking diet, and the study participants only did it for 3 to 4 cycles. So that means they did it for 3 or 4 months.
So they'd eat, so they do the fasting-mimicking diet, and we'll tell you about that in a second, for 5 days, and then the other 25-ish days of the month, they were just told to eat normal.
Right. And that is this particular fasting mimicking diet, both Carolyn and I have done it. We've tried it. And it really is, we attended the like daily check-ins where you get to talk to a dietitian if you want to. And it really truly
is fascinating.
Like, you just follow this very specific diet for 5 days. And the best part about this diet is that everything that you need comes in a box, drop-shipped to your door.
So the fasting-mimicking diet, and the researcher that was behind it, as well as involved in this research study, the diet is called Prolon. And so we say fasting-mimicking because you do get to eat. You're not totally fasting for 5 days.
Right, it's not just water that you're consuming.
Right. Now, is it what you're dying to eat?
No.
No, it's a lot of soups.
It's a lot of soups. There's some olives that Carolyn
doesn't
eat.
Yeah. There's some tea. There's some
small bars.
Some small bars. And then the crackers. I really like the crackers.
Oh, gosh. I forgot about the crackers. The crackers are really good.
People have asked them to, like, sell those separately so they can eat them when they're not.
Yeah, those crackers are good. I also really like the olives. I know you don't. You like the one dessert bar.
Well, I kind of learned how to heat it up a little.
And I just still find that one not delicious. But look, I mean, it's like you said, it's mostly soups. It's plant-based as well.
And it is lower. It is fairly low in calories.
It's very low in calories.
600 to 800. But though it is specifically designed to keep the body in fasting mode.
Right.
So this specific combination, they have combined it where your body gets these nutrients, but you aren't kicked out of fasting mode.
Yes.
Which is really kind of interesting and not something you could do on your own.
Correct. I mean, unless you literally water diet.
Yeah. So these people did the fasting mimicking diet for 3 to 4 months, and then they compared their lab values and looked at their overall health. They compared it to the control, who they just told to follow a normal or Mediterranean-style diet.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, they did it for 5 days, and then the other 25 days of the month, the people in the fasting group, they could eat whatever they wanted.
Yeah. So what they found is it lowered a lot of diabetes risk factors, including the people in the fasting group had less insulin resistance, lower hemoglobin A1C. They had a decrease in abdominal fat and a decrease of fat in the liver, both of which are associated with metabolic syndrome. All of those are good. And even if you don't have diabetes, all of us have a little of this going on. Like, it's a good thing for all of us to lower our insulin, to lessen our insulin resistance.
Yes.
Did I say that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good for us all to, you know, keep tabs on our hemoglobin A1C. So this isn't, these aren't numbers or things that are just for people who are pre-diabetic or diabetic. This is something everyone needs to do to kind of maintain the health of their body.
Yes. And to remind some listeners or teach some listeners who might not know, hemoglobin A1C is basically the way to measure how your blood sugar behaves over a multi-month period. So if it is high, it indicates that your blood sugar is typically high, or you're going to be having some like spikes up and drops. So that's why it is a nice way to talk about, or it's a nice way to look at your overall multi-month like blood sugar, insulin behavior.
The other thing is they found the fasting group increased their ratio of types of immune cells that is indicative of a more youthful immune system.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
So helps your immunity, mm-hmm. helps your abdominal fat and liver fat, helps with your insulin and glucose
regulation,
and takes about 2.5 years off of your biological age. Now, for the ladies who are listening, I want to say, and I can only speak personally, and maybe you can jump in, Carolyn. I did Prolon twice.
Mm-hmm.
Both times
you were a pain in the butt when you did it.
Oh, gosh. I was an awful human.
I will say, don't do it for females. Don't do it around your period, leading up to your period or anything.
Do it after.
Yes.
Right after, where your general like appetite isn't raging.
Yeah. I also recommend doing it like my most successful one was like a week or two after the Christmas holidays, and where I was sick of eating just rich, sugary foods.
Yeah.
Like I was ready for like a really just clean reset.
Yes. But
you have to be in the right place mentally, basically.
You do. You absolutely do. But the part that both times I did it that I was truly surprised by was it definitely, I don't know how they do it or how my body does it, but it absolutely targets your midsection, mm-hmm. for sure. Like I, 5 days, I felt and I didn't necessarily drop much in terms of pounds on the scale, but I mean, I did, but it wasn't over the top. But I absolutely felt a difference in the waistline in my, like, jeans.
Yeah. I've had it, when it comes to weight, either I've lost, 5 to 8 pounds while doing it. Or I've lost maybe, 3 or 4, but then the days following, because it really kind of resets your taste buds and your satiety and hunger cues.
It does.
In the days following, I've had a few more pounds come off.
Yeah. I remember you told me that, and the second time I did that, I watched to see if I continued to lose. And I did a little bit, but.
Yeah. So Prolon, I believe I still have a link in my Instagram. We'll put a link in the show notes with I have a discount code.
Yes.
That you can use as well if anybody's interested, because I'm kind of motivated to go do a round again after this.
Have at it, girlfriend. I'll watch from over here. I'm on the divorce diet, so I'm not doing any dieting right now. Okay, moving on. This one was so good. I want to send this to my boss, I want her to do it. I just think that she would find it interesting. Okay, so after a 6-month study, right? It was mm-hmm. 6 months. Companies found, this was in the UK, that a 4-day work week boosts employee well-being, which that I was not terribly surprised by. But then when we get into the statistics of...
They're shocking.
It's really impressive. But also it preserved productivity.
Yeah, the companies didn't suffer. And let me just say, 61 different companies in the UK did this for at least 6 months. So this was a very large study and a long study that looked at the employees, but also the companies.
Yeah.
And how they did. So yeah. You may read some of the stats.
Yeah, go for it.
So after 6 months, 71% of employees reported lower levels of burnout. 39% were less stressed compared to the start of the study. There was a 65% reduction in sick days.
That's amazing.
HR, are you hearing this?
I know.
You know?
It's amazing.
There was a 57% decrease in the number of people leaving companies.
And that's expensive. Employee turnover is expensive.
Yeah. The reduction in sick days and the turnover part, that's, I mean, the company's really benefiting there.
Absolutely.
But they found that company revenue barely changed, or not in a bad way. It actually increased by 1.4% on the average. Yeah. So productivity did not decline. Revenue did not decline. It actually increased slightly over 6 months. But what was interesting is it seemed to kind of intrinsically motivate employees to be more productive. They said that workers were much less likely to kill time, and they actually sought out ways to be more productive. They were kind of motivated to work smarter.
Yeah. They were, like, interested in utilizing, like, technology that could help increase their productivity. They cut back or eliminated, in some cases, altogether, like, large, long meetings. Mm-hmm. Like, large meaning, like, too many people, long meetings. And so it's fascinating, like, how it really shifted, not just, like, it shifted how they worked.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that this was a big study and done over a fairly long period. I just, I hate that this hasn't gotten more press in the U.S.
Yeah. It's a good point.
You know?
I mean, I'm impressed that 61 organizations signed up.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, these stats for both the employees and the company are huge.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
So.
All right. The last one.
Okay.
Gosh.
This one was just for Briarly. Living near pubs and bars and fast food restaurants could be bad for heart health. Well, no duh with fast food.
Yeah, exactly. The fast food, I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, so this is another UK study, and it looked at health data they had for over 500,000 adults. And they looked at, they measured the subject's exposure to these places.
Yeah, so this is why I really loved this study.
Yeah. So exposure was determined by proximity. and proximity was living within less than a mile or within a 15-minute walk of these places, which Briarly does.
Yeah, exactly. Several. Here goes my elevated risk of heart failure because, yes, well, several. I mean, but my favorite location is absolutely walkable. It is definitely within 0.3. I think there was 0.3 miles.
It's less than half a mile.
It's less than half a mile from my house. It takes no more than 10 minutes to walk there. And of course, I'm like thinking to myself, well, now maybe instead of driving there, I'll just always walk there. Sometimes I walk there. Sometimes I drive there. Now maybe I should always walk there. Maybe that will help my heart health.
Maybe, maybe. Well, so people that lived in a close proximity, they were associated with an elevated risk of heart failure. So, Briarly, you have a 16% greater risk of heart failure.
Overall. 16%. Yep.
Yes. Now, this is what was interesting. When they broke it down and looked at proximity to pubs and bars and then proximity to fast food, I would have thought fast food would be way higher than pubs and bars. But they found if you live in the highest density of pubs and bars, you had a 14% increase of heart failure. In comparison to if you lived in a high density of fast food, you had a 12% increased risk of heart failure. I mean, they're close, but I wouldn't have thought pubs and bars would be
Would
more
be higher
than fast food.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's probably a good idea that you walk to your neighborhood bars, Bradley.
I should. I mean, yeah. I really walk there and walk back gets me, you know, a good 20 minutes of walking.
Yeah. You gotta take care of your heart.
I do, apparently. I will be sure to share this with the owners of this wonderful establishment.
Yeah. Yeah. So that wraps up our headlines. I guess kind of for this quarter, the first part of 2024. These were fun. These were different.
These were fun. And really glad that you found these and we didn't do the ones that I found last week. Because I think that this hopefully inspires people a little bit more than the no duhs that I drummed up.
Yeah. Well, I found a lot of no duhs yesterday. But yeah, got to keep digging. Okay. Well... let us know if you've come across any studies you want us to look into.
Absolutely.
And we will talk to y'all next week.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us for the Happy Eating Podcast. I'm Briarly Horton.
And I'm Carolyn Williams. If you liked this week's episode, then don't forget to rate and leave us a review on iTunes. And be sure to hit the subscribe button so you'll never miss a new episode.
We can't wait to have you back at our table next week for a brand new episode. Bye.
The contents discussed in the Happy Eating Podcast, such as advice, studies, text, graphics, images, and other material discussed or presented on the site or podcast, are for informational purposes only. Content is not intended to be a substitute for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your mental health professional or other qualified health providers with any questions you may have regarding your condition. Never disregard professional advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Happy Eating Podcast.
If you are in crisis or think you may have an emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. If you're having suicidal thoughts, call 1-800-273-TALK, that's 8255, to talk to a skilled, trained counselor at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. If you are located outside the United States, call your local emergency line immediately.